And now, God, as we are going to turn to your word, Father, we pray that you would speak to us. God, we pray that you would be clear. God, that you would help me to faithfully proclaim your word, that you would speak to our hearts. We want to hear from you. We're desperate to hear from you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You can open up your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want to encourage you every Sunday to bring your Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, living in the end times. One of the things that I keep hearing, I've told you this a couple times now, is from on occasion, things that I keep hearing are, Michael, things are really weird, right? 2021 with COVID and mandates and vaccinations and politics and everything that's going on. I've increasingly been hearing people talk about how do we live when things seem so out of control? How do we live when things seem so dark? And what do we do? And so we turn, what we need to do is this, is we need to turn to God's word. We need to turn to God's word. And so 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, both of these books, which we're going to be preaching through chapter by chapter, both of these books are primarily about people who are living in a time of persecution, which quite honestly, we don't know anything about. They're living in a time of persecution, and they're wondering, when is Jesus going to come back? And the people who have already died, what's going to happen to them in light of the fact that Jesus is going to come back? So they have this idea, how do we live between the time that Jesus Christ ascended into heaven and the time that he returns for the second time, which biblically that those are the end times. You and I are living in the end times. So how do we live? And so I've already given you a background for this book last week, historical background, so I'm not going to do that again. But let me go ahead and read. I'm going to read the first eight verses of chapter 2. First eight verses, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain, but though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our heart. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother, taking care of her own children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. And so as we are going to unpack and we're going to think about these eight verses, and of course, what is God saying through the Apostle Paul? That's what's taking place. The Spirit of God is speaking through him to the Christians at Thessalonica. And we know that this is an eternally relevant message for us today. And so we're going to talk about that, of course, what God is communicating. But I'll say this at the very beginning. One of the things that you see in this passage of scripture is this, is you start to get inside the heart and the mind of the Apostle Paul. Think about that for a moment. What is he writing in these eight verses? Just think about it. What is he communicating in these eight verses? Now, of course, we know the Apostle Paul can't ever stop talking about the gospel, right? It's like he can't get away from the gospel for like 1 minute. So he's talking about the gospel, but what he's also talking about are his motives. He's talking about what's going on in his heart. He's talking about, and this might make some of us uncomfortable, he's talking about his feelings. You guys comfortable talking about your feelings? Men, how comfortable are you talking about your feelings? Billy gave me a thumbs up. That's the only one. So I'm sure some of us are doing okay with that. But I mean, let's make no mistake about it. I mean, you really do get a window in this passage of who the Apostle Paul is, how he feels about Christians, and how he feels about the church. And so what we can begin to do is like, is we could be inspired by this love. That's really where we're going to be going this morning. So there's a lot of heart and soul of the Apostle Paul in this passage. And of course, he's one of my favorite guys in all the world. How can he not be? Probably second only to Jesus himself. So, but the first thing I want to point out is this, and I point this out because it's the first thing the Apostle Paul points out in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 in the first couple verses. And here it is. It's the first point. We'll put it up on the screen for you. We need to expect that there will be times when ministry and walking with the Lord is hard. Let me reread verses 1 and 2 again. For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. That means that there was an effect to it, that had results. We talked about that in chapter 1, right? It's like the city kind of exploded in a good way with a gospel impact. It's like the gospel went off and boom, I mean, it changed their lives radically. So when he's saying it wasn't in vain, it wasn't in vain. Their lives had changed. It had come with power and with conviction. Verse 2, but though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you what? The gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. So what you're seeing there in the first couple of verses is this. The Apostle Paul is talking about how he came to them, and he had. He had been there, and he had started the church, and the Spirit of God had been at work in a powerful way. But what he's telling you is that it was absolutely filled with trials. I, last night, because I'm a loser, I was watching, what is it, HGTV? Is that what it's called? The Property Brothers. I know some of you are so disappointed in me right now. I should have been watching college football, right? Someone, oh dear God, this lady, she was talking about looking for a new house, and the new house was like in the ballpark of like $900,000, whatever. That's okay. Let's not talk about that. But she used the phrase, as we're looking for a new house, we're going through a lot of trials and tribulations. And I was like, well, you know, what did you just say? Like what? I mean, that's biblical language, right? Trials and tribulations as they're trying to decide on the next house they're going to buy. And so I share that with you. It's kind of funny. We can all laugh at that. You and I, we probably say things like that. I probably do too. But when the Apostle Paul talks about suffering, he's not talking about looking for his next forever home, right? That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is something that you see in Acts chapter 16 and going on even to Acts chapter 17. He's talking about this. Paul, this is his mode of ministry. If you want to know, what was his mode of ministry? We've talked about this. He would go into a town, he would preach the gospel, people would get saved, and then a bunch of people would get really mad, and they would try to kill him, and then he would narrowly escape, and he would go into the next town and do it all over again, right? Wouldn't you say that that's kind of like what happened to the Apostle Paul? And so when he's talking about, in these first couple verses here, he's talking about being shamefully treated at Philippi. Here's the story he's talking about. Now, of course, I would like to go to Acts 16 and 17 and just spend time there, but we're not going to do that. But I can tell you exactly what he's talking about. Look it up yourself. He's talking about the fact that there is a woman who was demonically possessed, and Paul had the nerve to cast the demon out of her. It's not just something that happens 2,000 years ago. Spiritual warfare is something that takes place today, right? It's not just back then. It's not a myth. This is a spiritual reality. This is great news, right? A woman has a demon cast out of her. Praise the Lord. But that's not how the town reacted. She was also doing like tarot cards and telling the future for people, this woman who was possessed. So the people who were using her, they were using her to make money. So when Paul, cast this demon out, they get really furious and they try to lay hands on Paul and kill him. And so when the Apostle Paul is talking about suffering and being persecuted, he's talking about something that he has genuinely experienced. So the point is this, is we need to expect times where ministry is hard and just life in general. What I believe how we can begin to apply this to our own life is like this. You and I, we are being called to boldness and courage when it comes to living out our faith in everyday life. You and I, we have to be so careful about being easily offended. Can you imagine if the Apostle Paul was easily offended, right? I mean, almost, I would imagine, now again, God is sovereign, I understand that, but if he was easily offended, how much of the New Testament would have been written? Like, probably none of it. I mean, right, he would get beaten, he'd be thrown in prison. So as you begin to even think about what Paul is communicating, one of the things that we need to come to realize is this, he is willing to die for something. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. He's willing literally to die for something. He understands that ministry is going to be hard. So one of the things that you and I are being called to right now, we are being called to courage. We are being called to be bold in God. Things might be difficult in your life as you try to follow God. Here's the thing. You and I, we need to expect that. You and I need to know that we are going to face resistance. There's going to be people that you are sharing your faith with who will laugh at you, who will want to have nothing to do with you. As you take a stand for what is right, they're going to think you're crazy. We need to be courageous. We're going to talk about where that power comes from now, but I want to call you to that. Here's another thing I'll just say real quick. You might read this text and think, this is all stuff that relates to the Apostle Paul. God bless him. He was an apostle, which means to be sent, right? From God. That's what apostle means, to be sent. So you might be thinking, well, this is cool for the Apostle Paul. I'm not an apostle. So I don't need to be brave or courageous, right? That's what we need to know is this, is the moment that you are born again, the moment that you are saved, you are called into full-time ministry. This idea that Pastor Michael and other pastors and the elders, they do ministry full time. The rest of us don't. That is a biblical mistake. All of us, Jeff Vanderstelt said something like this. I didn't write it down. But that all of us are called into full time ministry, but God just uses our paychecks from different sources for his purposes. All of us, your everyday life, you are to be serving God, living for God, no matter where you are at. And in your everyday life, we are called to be bold. We are called to be courageous. You might be thinking, man, why didn't the Apostle Paul just relax a little bit, right? Maybe you're not thinking that. Why was he so intense? Well, here's why, and here's the second point. We have been given the great privilege and responsibility of sharing the gospel. This is why the Apostle Paul, this is the specific reason why Paul would face death, is because he had been given the ministry of sharing the gospel. Don't miss this. Each and every one of us have been too. This ministry that the Apostle Paul was called to of knowing the gospel, sharing the gospel, this is the very same responsibility and the privilege that we have been given as well. Let me reread verses 4 and 5. A couple of real interesting phrases I want us to unpack. Verse 4. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, with a pretext for greed. God is witness. So that one phrase, approved by God, what do you think that means? We like that phrase, entrusted with the gospel, right? There are conferences that have been started all with that phrase, entrusted with the gospel. That's powerful. We love it. It's catchy. But what do you think he means when he says he's approved by God? Well, what it means actually is this. It means, and you might not see it right off the bat. What he means is this, is that he has been tested by God. The Apostle Paul has been tested by God because he has been given the responsibility of sharing the gospel, and he hasn't fallen back. People want to beat him. They want to kill him. I mean, literally, and yet he still keeps going. He's not going to be easily offended. He's not going to see his ministry fall back because of how people have treated him. Instead, he keeps going. So what he means is that he has passed the test. God has put him through legitimate trials and tribulations. He is approved by God. That's what he's talking about. But then he goes on to say, entrusted with the gospel. What do you think that means, brothers and sisters? And this is where we really get into the big idea of this passage. We really like, well, what's really going on in chapter 2, 1 through 8? Well, this idea of being entrusted with the gospel, now you're really kind of getting into what Paul wants to really communicate. The Greek word for entrusted is pistuo. And here's what it means. It means to trust someone with something of great value. It's not very complicated, is it? Entrusted is actually a word like, well, we kind of get that. And so what the Apostle Paul is saying is that he has been entrusted with this gift. He has been entrusted with the most powerful force in all of the world, the gospel. Can we really say such a thing? That the gospel is the most powerful thing? Well, you might say, well, it's God, and I'm not going to argue with you about that. But why is the gospel so powerful? Why is it so precious? Why is it so beautiful? Well, think about it. Everything that we know about ministry, everything that we know about God and Jesus, everything that we know about the church, everything that is supposed to be at the very center of who we are as a people and as a church, it has to do with the gospel. Why? Because the gospel changes everything. Where would you be this morning without the gospel? And then what should happen as you think about that, you should be amazed at what God has done for you. He has saved you. He has plucked you and I out of hell. He has given us the forgiveness of sins, extended his grace and mercy to us, and he has adopted us as his sons and daughters. This is the good news of the gospel. Amen? You guys are recipients of this gospel. As you sit here this morning, you have been entrusted with this good news because of what God has done for you. Paul knew that. His whole life was centered on this. Everything was about this. As you think about it, you're like, how could it not be? How could it not be? It's the most powerful force in the world, and it was for him. That's what it means for him. Real quick. Going back, and I think this is relevant. Going back to Acts 16 and 17, you've heard me talk about Acts 16 probably 50 times over the past couple years, Acts 16. Because remember the story I was telling you about the woman who was possessed by a demon and Paul cast her out? You remember where they put Paul because of that? Where did they put him? They put him in prison. And then it was the midnight hour, and the Apostle Paul was in prison, and he was groveling, he was cursing, he was really unhappy, right? No, he was there in prison, and he was praising God. The reason why I bring that up is because as I think about the ministry of the Apostle Paul, as I think about what he's communicating here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, that really is the engine for everything that he does. He was so amazed by who Jesus is. He was so amazed by what Jesus had done for him. Even when he is in prison, he is praising God. So if you're wondering, where does his strength come from to do this? It's because he is worshiping all the time because he knows who Jesus is and what he has done for him. And I want to say the same thing is true for you. You and I, we can live like that. We can live like a people who are joyful because we have been saved. We have been redeemed. We have been born again. This is true for each one of us. Let me ask you a real practical question. You ready? Three people are ready. All right. I'm going to proceed anyway. Who are the people in your everyday life that God has called you to reach with the gospel? We have to think about that, right? This is God's number one strategy for evangelism. God's number one strategy for evangelism is not a bunch of programs. That's not his number one strategy. His number one strategy is people like the Apostle Paul being amazed at what Jesus had done for him. And then wherever he goes, he's talking about Jesus. And the same thing is true for you and I. God has given you this gift of the gospel. Now he wants us to talk about it in everyday life. Can you think about one or two people in your everyday life that need you to build a relationship with them and share the gospel with them? I'll give you a moment to actually think about that. Who are a couple people in your everyday life that you, if you thought about it, you're like, I've probably been entrusted with the gospel for that person. Who is it? Now, I don't totally hate programs. I don't hate programs at all. We have a lot of programs here. In January, we're going to do an outreach class called Discovering the Real Jesus. In January, it's going to be four nights starting January 10th. I'm going to lead it, and it's all about who Jesus really is. I'm asking you, New Life Church, to be thinking about who you can bring with you to this class. So it's going to be all about who is Jesus really. So even now, you could be thinking about, who can I bring with me? Who can I be building a relationship with so that I could take them to something like that and they can learn about who Jesus is? Here's the last point we're going to talk about. Paul goes on to explain for him what it looks like to share the gospel. This is undeniably what he's doing. He explains how he does it. We are called to share both the gospel and our lives with others. Look at verses 7 and 8. This is amazing. Verse 7, you ready? But we were gentle among you. The Apostle Paul, how did you treat people? Like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. Isn't that a little bit shocking? The Apostle Paul is one of the toughest dudes you will probably ever read about, right? I mean, death doesn't stop this man. But now he's using a metaphor for describing how he treated people. What do you think of this idea? The Apostle Paul is saying he treated them like a nursing mother. So the question for you is this: what does that mean? And then you and I, we have to ask the question. We don't want to just be learning interesting biblical metaphors. We have to ask the question, what did he mean by that? And then we ask the question, am I doing that? Am I treating people in the church like a nursing mother? Like, so if you want to think about what is perhaps one of the most loving pictures that you could possibly communicate of sacrificial love for another person, probably one of the places you would go would be to a nursing mother, right? It's like this person, this little baby, is totally dependent on mom. If mom doesn't love this child, reach out to this child will literally die. It's one of the most beautiful pictures of sacrificial love in the entire world, not just the Bible. And so what the Apostle Paul is saying, that's how he was with them. But he gives us a few more details. He says, yes, that he was sharing the gospel with them. And I think we talk a lot about that. I know we do. So he's talking about that that he went there, and he went there as a nursing mother, and he shared the gospel with them. So that's something that we have to be ready to do. We have to be something to articulate the gospel. The gospel needs to be communicated verbally with words of who Jesus is and what he has done. But then he goes on to say that he was gentle. And so as we think about that, he's using this metaphor of a nursing mother. So again, we have to start asking the question, as we interact with each other, would you and I say we are being gentle? That we are being patient with each other? That we are being long-suffering? That we are thinking about their needs above our own needs? This is what it means to be gentle, to be kind. And then he goes on to say that he was affectionately desirous of them. That's the ESV, right? What does that mean? This means that he has a deep emotional longing for them. He has a deep emotional longing for them. And so again, what you're hearing the Apostle Paul say is he's not just that traveling evangelist who would go town to town and just share the, put up a tent, share the gospel, and he would disappear. He came into town and he shared his life. How do we do this at New Life Church? Two primary ways we do it at New Life Church. We do it in life groups and we do it in D groups. We do it by getting into community. We do it by opening up our lives to people, exposing who we are to people, loving them where they are at, in life groups and in D groups. This is, I want to encourage you this morning, as we think about this passage, you're like, my goodness, the love of the Apostle Paul for the church was so profound. So emotional. What I want to encourage you to do is to come into the inner circle of the church, to come into fellowship, to build relationships. It is so important for each one of us to grow spiritually. So in closing, here's what I'll say. God is calling each one of us. God is calling each one of us to understand the value and the beauty of the gospel, right? So this morning, I believe the Apostle Paul wants you to leave here this morning understanding you have been given this gift of the gospel. But then he also wants you to understand it, that to be able to communicate it to others, that we need to be building relationships. We need to be loving each other. We need to be tender and gentle like a nursing mother. So I want to encourage you to allow this to inspire you. This great love that the Apostle Paul has, you and I are being called to this as well. And ultimately, we see it in the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for us on a cross and rose 3 days later. I'm going to pray for us. I'll have the worship team come up here, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, God. We thank you for your word. God, we thank you for God, for what you were doing in the Apostle Paul's life 2,000 years ago. And Father, we thank you that you used the Holy Spirit to inspire him so that he would write this. And Father, I pray for each one of us that we would be leaving here this morning and we would be inspired, God. Father, that we would be inspired by someone who loves you so much and that is willing to sacrifice their life for other people. And God, that this would be increasingly, this would be our story. May we be a church that is increasingly characterized by gentleness, by long-suffering, by kindness, by love for each other. And Father, may at the very center of it would be the truth, the glorious truth of your gospel of who your Son, Jesus Christ, is. We love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.